I think that's the second time, at least, that we prayed for Isaac to have a ready recollection when he's not preaching. Now, one of two things has to be true. Either we think Isaac needs some extra prayer, or there's wishful thinking that it's Isaac preaching instead of me, and I can't figure out. Don nodded like that. Don nodded like that on that. But anyway, let me just make the record clear. Both Isaac and I need prayer, right? But I appreciate the fact that we can laugh together and enjoy being together as well as be serious about God's Word. I had to step out. I got a call from the funeral home there. They have set one of the funerals for Tuesday at 11 and the second one for Wednesday at 11 and the third one's not been set yet. If you all are looking for me this week and need me, check the funeral home. I think that's where I'm going to be most of the week. And it's a sad situation, and yet, folks, it's a victory. I think we've got to put death in proper focus. I talked a little bit about this at the Yahoos Friday. This is a difficult week in many instances. I will be preaching two of the funerals and be at one or two of the others. And it's difficult in some ways, and yet in each of these cases, the one who's passed away is a Christian, and that makes it easier, and that's what matters anyway. I hope to live many more years, but my greatest desire is to die in the Lord, whenever that is. And when that happens, we ought to be thankful at the same time that we shed tears. We are continuing in our series on the subject of daily. The reason that I'm using that word and emphasizing it is to emphasize the regularity and consistency that needs to be involved in every part of Christianity. We've talked about daily study, we've talked about daily teaching, we've talked about daily cross-bearing. Tonight I want us to talk about daily praise and worship. First, listen as I read several passages of Scripture. In Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, the word daily is not in that verse, but the concept of worship is in that verse. And then just a little bit later, in verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and from house to house, or breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We see three basic concepts involved there. One is the concept of worship. One is the concept of fellowship. And one is the concept of growth. And I'll have a lesson on daily fellowship and one on daily growth later in this series. But they were in the temple. That suggests that they were meeting, using that as a place to get together to worship. And they were breaking bread from house to house. That suggests the idea of fellowship with one another. And then there was the idea of regular growth in the church, with the Lord adding to the church daily such as should be saved. The second verse that I call to your attention, and I think all of us can quote it, is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. That verse certainly suggests the idea of praise and the idea of worship. Let's go to the book of Psalms for just a few minutes. In Psalms 86 and verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. I believe the word cry there is used not in the sense of just weeping, but in the sense of reaching out to God on a daily basis. In Psalms 34 and verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be. The word daily is not in that verse, but it's built into that idea of continually. In the next chapter, Psalms 35 and verse 28, my tongue shall speak of the righteous and thy praise all the day long, thy righteousness and thy praise all the day long. Not only daily, but hourly, by the minute. My praise will be given to thee all the day long. In the 45th chapter of the book of Psalms, in verse 17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations, therefore shall thy people praise thee forever and ever. See the consistency involved? Continuing to praise God on a regular basis. And in the 71st chapter of the book of Psalms, and verse 6, by thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. My praise shall be continually of thee. Our praise to God and our worship to God should be on a regular basis, certainly on a daily basis. I want you to think for a moment about the word praise and the word worship. Sometimes they may be used in the sense of synonyms, but I make a distinction in them in the presentation of the lesson tonight. I'm using praise in the sense of what we do with our entire lives. I'm using worship in the sense of specific occasions when we specifically, with the intention, worship God. And I think there is a distinction that needs to be drawn between them. And here is the significant reason that we need to make that distinction. There is a movement that's taking place in religion, to some extent in the church today, where people are saying that everything that we do is worship. That every word, every act, every thought, everything that we do 24/7 is worship. I believe there is an ulterior motive on the part of many who are suggesting that it is an attempt to emphasize the idea of bringing a mechanical instrument of music into our assemblies. Because you see, if everything we do is worship, and we can use an instrument of music on other occasions for other reasons than what we would if we were in an assembly, then it would make sense that it would be all right for it to be in the assembly. I do not believe that everything that we do is worship. I hope to sleep tonight. I think by resting my body, I am praising God and doing that which He has told me to do. But I do not believe that I am worshiping God during that time that I'm asleep. I enjoy going fishing. Brother Bush and I have done more boat riding than fishing, but I enjoy going fishing with him. I believe in going fishing and involved in recreation to recreate the body, as God has said, is in and of itself, without a word being said, praise to God. I am convinced that everything I do 24/7 is to be praised to God. Every action, if I'm doing what I should do, in my relationship to other people, in family relationships, in recreation, on the job, you go to the job tomorrow, I don't think you believe that job is worship to God, and yet it is praise to God if you're doing an honest day's labor for the right purpose. Our entire lives are praise to God. But there are specific occasions where we are instructed to worship and be in a worshipful attitude to God in paying respect to Him, particularly by word of mouth that comes forth from the heart. Without saying a word, you and I can praise God by our lives. And if we are out in the community living good Christian lives and we are observed by other people, that very living of that life is a praise to God, but it is not worship. But there is a sense in which we need daily worship. I don't mean by that that we need to necessarily schedule an assembly here at the church building every day. We do that sometimes for a few days in a gospel meeting. And the evidence seems to be that in the early church, they may have met on a daily basis in the temple and in other ways in order to worship as a group of people. Certainly would be good if we could do that, if we were in a position where we could meet together every night and worship God for a period of time, that would be good. I don't believe that God requires that of us in the sense of the assembly of all of us. The Bible definitely teaches that we are to assemble on the Lord's Day to observe the Lord's Supper and to worship God. Any additional times that we assemble, in my opinion at least, are left up to the leadership of a local congregation. There was a time when most congregations did not have Bible classes an hour before the morning assembly. Today, you would have difficulty finding one that did not. I'm glad that we have our classes, our Bible study period on Sunday morning. In most instances, when we have another service on Sunday, like the evening service, we have it somewhat like the format that we're using tonight. Suppose we decided in this congregation that we wanted to divide down in classes tonight instead of having an assembly of all of us in the auditorium. I think that could be left to the discretion of the leadership of the congregation. I know of one congregation where I preached for a while, filling in at least, where they meet for Bible class and worship on Sunday morning, and meet for Bible class on Wednesday night, and do not meet on Sunday night. I wish they did meet. I think it would be good if they could meet on Sunday night, but I think that's a decision that that congregation has to make. We need to realize that we can worship God and we can praise God without necessarily being in a specific type of assembly. Now, as far as once on the Lord's Day, God has commanded that the church, the local congregation, assemble together. I think I can prove that without any doubt. In addition to that, we need to use a reasonable approach. But there's a sense in which we could very easily worship daily. I would hope that in many of the families that there is an attitude of worship on a daily basis. Some families will get the whole family together at a specific time each night, maybe before they go to bed, and have a devotional service of worship to God together. I think that is great. I live by myself. Suppose I want to take a certain time and pray to God and read from His Word and meditate upon His Word. Maybe even if I wanted to sing a song and have the intent of it being to worship God, I certainly could do that. If we're visiting with each other and we wanted to take a period of time and sing and pray and study together, we could do that. And it could be a worship service to God. And we need perhaps to do more of that on a regular basis. We need to encourage our younger families that have children to have some type of a worship attitude to God on a daily basis. I encourage this. I think it is wonderful when it is done. And the idea is that we want to praise God all the time with our words and with our deeds, and we want to worship God with our words from the heart on any occasion that we can reasonably do that. But as far as this worship idea is concerned, there are some guidelines that we need to understand. And in understanding these, it will help us to see the distinction that I've made between praise and worship. First of all, worship needs to go from a lower to a higher level. You cannot worship your wife or your husband. You cannot worship your parents, at least in a pleasing manner to God. I have heard a man say one time, "I worship the ground on which my wife walks." Well, I think I had a lot of respect for my wife, but I did not worship the ground on which she walks, and she did not worship the ground on which I walk. We don't worship each other. You remember when Cornelius bowed down before Peter, he said, "Get up, I myself also am a man." We may praise each other in the right way, and we may together praise or worship God, but worship has to be directed from the lower creature to the higher creature, or from the lower level to the higher level. You remember in the conversation that Jesus had with Satan relative to the temptation, he said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And in the giving of the Ten Commandments, God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." God is the one that is to be worshiped, and our worship is to go from a lower level to a higher level. Having said that, it necessarily follows that the receiver of the worship is the one who is to be pleased, not necessarily the one who is giving the worship. I would hope tonight that we are pleased with the worship that we are giving. But what matters is whether or not God is pleased. And there's where we deal with the idea that we do something just because we like it. We're going to add this to our service because we like it, or we're going to not do this because we don't like it. That's setting ourselves up as the ones who should be pleased. I've had people say that I wish we would use a piano because I like it. I like piano music. I like piano music also. And there are times that I enjoy listening to it. I certainly will not be playing it. I don't have that talent. But I cannot use it in worship to God because He has designated what He wants and what is pleasing to Him. The one who is receiving the worship is the one who needs to be pleased. In John 12, there were those who would not turn to God because they were afraid they would be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of men more than they did the praise of God. They were more interested in pleasing men than they were in pleasing God. 2 Timothy 4 talks about those who would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, instead of listening to the word of God, and in the next verse he says, preach the word, or along with those verses, he's saying they have itching ears. They want to please themselves. They want their own ears to be pleased instead of pleasing God. Real worship is to please the one who is receiving it, not the one who is giving it. And so as we decide what is to be done in worship and how we are to do it, the question is, what does God want? What did God say about it? Not what do I like. There's nothing wrong with me liking something. There's nothing wrong with me being pleased. I enjoy good singing. I don't know of anything that's more beautiful than to hear a group of Christian people singing. And some of the best singing I've ever heard is at Henderson. When we have 400, 500, 600 students there, along with all the others, sometimes maybe 700,000, 800,000 people together, all the parts, everybody singing together, that's some of the prettiest music I've ever heard. And I'm pleased with it. I enjoy it, but that's not the question. Is God pleased with it? I had a man tell me one time that they had changed the elements on the Lord's table. This was in a denominational setting. They'd changed it to Coke and hamburgers because that's what the people liked. And there was a particular case in the Nashville area, and this is sort of hard to believe, but back during the time of the women's lib movement, you remember this talked about, there was a religious group that changed the fruit of the vine to milk on the Lord's table in order to honor women as they were taking it. That's about as far an extreme as I've ever seen. But you see, the idea there is what I want, what man wants, instead of what God wants. Worship is to please the receiver, and God is the receiver of our worship. I've even gone so far as to say that God is the audience in our worship. Now, we talk about the audience sitting in the pew as a preacher's preaching or a song leader's leading the singing. There's a sense in which that's true. But there's also a sense in which every one of us as an individual and then together as a group right now are worshiping God. Therefore, He is the audience. He is the one who is receiving it. We are the ones who are, for lack of a better word, performing that worship to God. And so two points particularly important. Worship goes from the lower level to the higher level, never down and never sideways. Always to the higher level, and that level is God. And it is to be done to please Him. Our worship is to be governed by the New Testament. We don't worship by the Old Testament. I don't know of anybody that claims to worship by the Old Testament who really does. Those who emphasize the keeping of the Sabbath day will not offer incense. They don't offer burnt offerings. I know of nobody that worships according to the principle of the Old Testament. Even those who claim to be of the Jewish background today do not go back and offer all of those offerings in the same way. At least I don't believe they do. Our worship is to be governed by the New Testament. Well, there'll be certain things done in heaven. That's true, but that's not what governs what we do on earth. Have you ever thought about that passage? It says there'll neither be marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. You see, we don't want to use the principles of heaven to govern what we do here on earth, except to be as much like God as we can. We're governed by the New Testament. And by the way, the Bible emphasizes that there are specific times and places for worship. There's not a specific time and place for praise. The entire life of a Christian is a praise to God. Do you remember Abraham offering Isaac, Genesis 22? He said to the men that were with him, "You stay here, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship and come back to you." Now, all of the trip that Abraham made was praise to God. He was carrying out God's will. He was respecting God's will in everything that he did. Getting all the he was taking with him together, getting the servants together, getting Isaac, going on the trip, coming to this place, going from where he left the servants up to that mount. All of that was according to God's will and praise to him. But he said, "We're going to go up there and worship. A specific place and a specific time. And then we'll come back to you." You remember the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8? He had been to Jerusalem for to worship. That man seems to have been a God-fearing man. Probably was praising God on his trip there and on his trip back, even though he didn't know all the truth at that point. But he had come to Jerusalem to worship. He went to a specific place at a specific time to worship. Paul says in the book of Acts, I believe it's 12 days ago, "I went up to Jerusalem for to worship." Well, you'd be hard-pressed to find any life that's ever described in the Bible that was more of a praise to God than Paul's was after he became a Christian. Everything he did seemed to be, in his persecution, in his teaching, and everything, to praise and serve God. But he said, "I went for a specific occasion to worship." You and I assembled this morning to worship. We're assembling tonight to worship. If two or three of us were to get together later on tonight and have a devotional service to God, that we would be assembling at that place to worship. I believe that worship is used in the Bible in the sense of a specific place for a specific intention, to pay our worship to God, whereas the entirety of life is a praise. Now, if you put both of those together, we have proven the thesis of our lesson tonight: daily praise and worship. The Christian life is 24/7. There is not a minute in your week this week that should be anything other than living a Christian life. Now, none of us will live it to perfection. We make mistakes. We need forgiveness. We can ask forgiveness. We can receive it. But we ought to be dedicated and committed to living for God, to where every minute, every second of my life and yours this week is lived to praise God for who He is. But there are regular, specific times that we come together in an assembly to worship, or even regular, specific times that an individual might decide, "I'm going to take this hour today and I'm going to use it in prayer, in the study of God's word, meditation upon that word, or I may even sing praises to God." I could have a period of worship to God myself. Two of us could have a period of worship to God. 1,000 of us could. And we probably need to do more of that than we do. I would guess that none of us really takes as much daily, regular time to be in a worshipful attitude to God. And maybe we don't think about the idea as much as we should, that everything we do is to be praise to God. When one becomes a Christian, he makes the decision, or should make the decision at that point, the rest of my life is committed to God. Am I going to be down on my knees praying in order to pray without ceasing? I don't think so. Am I going to be uttering words 24/7 in order to pray? I don't think that's what praying without ceasing means. I believe it means having that attitude of mind 24/7 to where we are in touch with God and committed to serving God to the best of our ability, and to where we take advantage of every opportunity that we have to assemble with others to worship God. I never have understood why anybody would ask the question, do you think I have to attend every service of the church? I don't believe we ought to ever ask the question, do I have to? I would be concerned if one of you younger adults who's been married in the last year or two came to me and said, do you think I have to go home every night? Do you think I have to love my wife every night, every day? When you married, you made that decision. When you and I married Christ, we made that decision. And we ought to be committed to doing our best. Now, there are times that it's not reasonable for us to attend a service. There are times that it's not reasonable for us to do some of the things we'd want to. And God understands. He just asks us for reasonable service, Romans 12:1. But we ought to be committed to the idea that when I became a Christian, I married Christ, and I committed myself to Him as long as I live 24/7, whether I'm resting, whether I'm in recreation, whether I'm on the job, whether I'm eating, whether I'm in an assembly, wherever it is, I'm committed to Him daily, regularly, all the time, and committed to worshiping Him at every reasonable opportunity that I have. Christianity is a daily religion, an hourly religion, and we could bring it on down. It just simply means doing the best we can do to serve God all the time. And you know, if you really stop and think about it, what I've just suggested can save you a lot of time. You should never spend any time really thinking about whether or not I'm going to go to Bible study and worship, unless it's where there's sickness and you're having to determine if you are able to go that day. You shouldn't ever ask yourself the question, do you think maybe I should read the Bible when I get an opportunity? Or you think maybe I should pray when I have an opportunity, or keep an attitude of prayer? Those decisions are made when we become Christians, if we're committed to daily Christianity. And that's what we're emphasizing. It all boils down to just being a Christian all the time. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one by being baptized into Christ, or if you need to ask for prayers